Welcome to the first episode of Kartak Letter for the year 2022. And you know what? We are spoiled for choice. Just that the choice we are given is all bad news choice. So today we can talk about the return of COVID as Omicron in the third wave, or we can talk about some rude reminders from the Chinese. So let's talk about the Chinese today, because in any case, nothing is going to go away. The Chinese threat is not going to go away, and the COVID threat is not going to go away. If anything, COVID threat, like the other waves, this wave will also subside in maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, if we go by the South African example. But the question is, how much of a toll does it take before that? That is a test for us. The Chinese, on the other hand, the Chinese situation looks like it's going to remain. It's been there. That tension has been there now for almost 60 years, and it's not about to go away, because ever since the Chinese took over Tibet and then laid claims for areas that India considered its own, particularly Aksai Chin, since then this trouble has continued. Of course, it came to a head in late 50s, then 58, then onwards to 62 in the war, and then later. Now, when I said 1958, I paused for a second. That's because one of the things we'll talk about today has its origins in 1958, origins in something that happened in 1958. Now, three different messages have come from China, just as the year has changed, just as the calendar has changed from 2021 to 22. It's almost as if the Chinese are serving a reminder on us. Of the three things, I would say one can be dismissed as a little joke. The other is not quite a joke, although it looks like one, but it is a more problematic thing, or maybe a stronger message. And the third is a tactical military move of some significance. Tactical, not strategic. So these three things are the ones that we are talking about. Now, what is it that we call a joke? Because a lot of it is psychological warfare. And what is psychological warfare? Sometimes can be effective, sometimes can be funny, right? So the funny part of the psychological warfare that the Chinese are playing is this little video that they've released, which Adil Brar, who writes a China newsletter for us and also a China column, he's a young Indian who is a China domain specialist. That's a very rare breed. So in his newsletter, he's mentioned that this little video of Chinese troops in Galwan Valley, somewhere in Galwan Valley, holding a little parade, singing patriotic songs, wishing each other Happy New Year, and unfurling a Chinese flag, which Chinese state media says is the same flag that once flew over Tiananmen. Now, it's like you could take any flag, any tricolor that's flown over Red Fort, or maybe now Arvind Kejriwal will set up this highest flags in Delhi, God knows how many. You can take one of those and take them anywhere. You can take them to Leh, you can take them to Chushul, you can take them to Indian side of Galwan, anywhere. And you can sing Sare Jahan Se Achcha Hai Hindustan Hamara, or you can sing Dur Hato Hai Duniya Walo Hindustan Hamara Hai. So the reason I call it a joke, even as psychological warfare, that this is not in Indian territory. Remember, of the Galwan Valley, if we understand the geography and geostrategy of the Ladakh, Aksai Chin, Xinjiang, or Xinjiang region, then most of Galwan Valley is not with India. Most of Galwan Valley has been under Chinese occupation for a very long time, even pre-1962. In fact, even pre-1962, while India had gone ahead and set up a couple of posts at Samsungdiang and places like that, that was part of the forward policy. Those were overrun early, even before the main war began in 1962. Those were overrun earlier in the year in 1962. And the Chinese have been there almost about 2 kilometers from where Galwan River has its confluence with Shyok River. Shyok River is fully under Indian control. So if you see these maps, you can understand the locations. The clash that took place between Indian and Chinese troops in Galwan Valley in 2020, that was near what is called patrolling point 14. That's the point to which Indian troops used to go, Indian patrols used to go. The LAC, the actual LAC, as per India's perception, our perception, lies about 800 meters ahead of patrolling point 14. Nobody patrols right up to their perception of the LAC because that can lead to clashes. So the Chinese had come in this side of the LAC towards patrolling point 14. They had set up some tents because they were trying to block the Indian side, our side, from making a tiny bridge on Galwan River, which would have made our patrols a little bit easier, our patrolling activity a little bit easier. That's where this clash took place. At that place, there is nobody. At that place, there are no Chinese and there are no Indians either. That's part of the arrangement or part of the disengagement. So nobody is there at this point. So first of all, this impression that this exercise was carried out, this video was made in Indian territory that they occupied after their movement. They have come towards the LOC and they have denied access to the Indian side, to our side, to many points on the LOC where we used to go. But this video was shot well within their territory, because remember, Galwan River is very long. Most of it has never been under Indian possession, at least not since 1958. It was in fact so remote that it was discovered during one of those expeditions that young husband has written about. In fact, this is Sir Francis E. Young husband, the great British explorer and topographer who has written the introduction to this book called Servant of Sahibs. And this is a book by a personal memoir written by somebody who hardly knew more than a dozen words of English. That is Ghulam Rasool Galwan, who used to run caravans in that part of the world. So he was an adventurer and he worked with the British explorers, including young husband and the likes. And it is because on one of his expeditions that he was shepherding, that Galwan River and the valley around it was discovered, that it was named after him. So Galwan River and the valley take their name from Ghulam Rasool Galwan. You see his picture here. He was a poor local man. Now, the Chinese have had most of it. That's the reason I say that this flag and this event, etc., this video is a joke, even a psychological warfare. It is just that our politics right now is so polarized that anybody would see it as they wish to see it. The problem, on the other hand, is something that we noticed on the New Year's Eve when the two sides exchanged sweets. There, you saw when you go up towards north, you go to Debsang Plains area. Then the exchange took place at a place called Bottleneck. Now, Bottleneck is a troublesome area because Bottleneck is, as the name indicates, a narrow area through which Indian vehicles can't go. So Indian patrols go by foot, and the Chinese patrols, if they want to come, also have to cross it by foot. So Indian patrols used to cross it and would then go to their patrolling points ahead. And that is to the edge of what they see as their territory, what we see in India as our territory in Debsang Plains. That was not manned, but patrolling would take place. Patrols would go, mark their presence and say that this is our territory, we've come up to here. The Chinese patrols would also come. But now the Chinese are not letting the Indian side go beyond Bottleneck. So access to those patrolling points 10, 11, 12, etc. has been denied. And that is a large area in Debsang Plains being denied to our patrols. And that's a significant problem. And that is something that got underlined with that exchange of sweets at Bottleneck. Of course, this is an area where in 2013 there was a standoff. In 2015, there was a standoff, just as Indian patrols used to go across the Bottleneck to their patrolling points. The Chinese patrols also sometimes used to come across Bottleneck towards what we see as our side. And 2015, at one point, a Chinese patrol had come within 1.5 kilometers of a place called Birdsey. Birdsey is where a big ITBP, Indo-Tibetan Border Police base is located. So Chinese came that close to Birdsey and they were pushed back, and that led to one more standoff. So in this problematic area, you can see the Chinese are denying India access to a very vast expanse of territory, and that fact has been underlined by this exchange of sweets at the bottleneck. Now, what is the other things? The second thing that happened, which I know that you might think that that's a bigger joke. That's not such a big joke. Because the first one, Galwan Valley, the Chinese have just made this noise without telling us that Chinese already have always had about 85 to 90% of the Galwan Valley. Only the rest is with India. Only the rest means where the river comes and meets the Shok River. Most of the rest has been in Chinese control. So it's their controlled territory. That's the reason I call that a bigger joke and pure psychological warfare, which is meant to excite social media for a day or two. But what they have done in Arunachal, that is at the turn of the year, they have announced new names for 15 places in Arunachal. These include passes. In some cases, passes may have the same name as India has for them, but they may be spelled differently. Sela, for example. Sela, we might use as one word, they may read as two words, right? So some mountains, some passes, some inhabited areas. And they've again said that these are locations in our region called Southern Tibet. That is what they describe our Arunachal Pradesh as. Now, Arunachal Pradesh does not have any of the challenges, say, that Kashmir has. Now, Kashmir, most of the rest of the world has not yet recognized Kashmir as a part of India. But Arunachal Pradesh is widely and almost unanimously accepted as a part of India. In fact, even when the US issues statements, they issue statements saying in India's Arunachal Pradesh. So why have the Chinese renamed these places in Arunachal Pradesh, and why is that less of a joke than their tamasha in their part of the Galwan Valley? That's because it is just now with the turn of the year that the new Chinese border law comes into being. Under that law, the Chinese reassert their sovereignty over areas they claim. And what the Chinese do is, where they can't change reality on the ground, they change reality in the sort of in the airspace of perception. So they then start referring to the place with their own names again and again and again. And who knows, one day their adversary might be weaker, and they don't just do it to India. We are not their exclusive victims. They do it to many of their neighbors, and including places like Taiwan. So this is a standard Chinese tactics. But combined with this new law, this acquires seriousness. Now, the Chinese also are not nuts. They know that they can't forcibly come and occupy Arunachal Pradesh. But these are also ways of strengthening your bargaining position. So how will we do our settlement tomorrow? If there's a negotiation, you give me at least half of what I want. And what will you give me, Mr. Xi Jinping? I will give you what you already have, which is, say, Arunachal Pradesh. I will let you have it, and I will withdraw the names I have given to the places there. So it's a bit like that. That's why I see that as a stronger message and a more important development. Now, the third thing is something that you've seen on the print today. And ideally, our defense editor, Snehesh Alex Phillips, should have been doing this. But I'm now stealing his thunder, and I'm explaining his story to you. So his story is, and this is tactical, and that's the reason I said tactical, military, tactical, not really strategic. Strategic is something that happens over a big battlefield or something that is of big political, geostrategic implications, not that. This is localized and tactical. So what happened, we saw in the summer of 2020, was that when the Chinese began nudging India in Galwan, Gogra, Hot Springs, Depsang, etc., etc. At one point, in this spectacular operation, Indian armed forces, Indian army essentially, climbed up on the heights facing the Pangong Lake on the southern side, say the Indian side. And from those heights, these Indian units also got a very good view of the big Chinese garrison at Moldo and also their communication lines, etc., etc. And that got the Chinese really upset. That is what is called the Kailash Range. And that's when the Chinese realized that their main base in the region, in a place called Rutong, you will see these on the maps. And this map has come to us from somebody who tweets under the name Detrefsa. You will see his Twitter handle on my screen. So he's drawn this map, and you can see this map actually explains the significance of Snehasia's story, which tells us that on one of the narrower parts of the lake, Pangong Lake is a 140 kilometer long or 135 kilometer long lake, say about 506 square kilometers of area. At its widest, it's about 5 kilometers. Now, India has just a little less than 40% of the lake. That is, if you draw the line at finger 8, which is now in contention. Right now, Indian troops are up to finger 4. So area between finger 4 and finger 8 is like no man's land for the moment. But India's borders post 1962, or line of actual control, is drawn at finger 8. Now, about 18 kilometers further east of finger 8, right? 18 kilometers further away from finger 8, and 18 kilometers in those mountains is a lot of distance. There, at the foot of what is called as Khurnak Fort, Khurnak. Now, Khurnak Fort is a 19th century fort, which for a long time, the Indian Kashmir administration used to control, but it does look like Tibetans came to acquire control of it at some point. In any case, that's a point of debate between the two countries. And some explorers have said this was under Tibetan control. Some explorers have said this was under Indian control. In fact, if you read the history of Khurnak Fort, it looks like it was discovered, at least in the modern age, it was discovered by the British explorer and topographer Henry Haversham Godwin Austin. Godwin Austin, you know, there is also a mountain named after him in the Himalayas. So he discovered it, and his view was that given where the fort was located, it did seem that this was Tibetan territory. But there are others who've claimed that this was not Tibetan territory, this was Indian territory. In any case, India has always insisted that it was our territory. Now, these maps of this area are difficult to get. Also, these are very sensitive areas. So what we are relying on is, we are relying on some internationally available maps, and also this map particularly from US Air Force. Now, you can find this on internet. This is the US Air Force Joint Operations graphic. And if you see it from a distance and you can get closer, you can see where Khurnak Fort is, you can see where the narrow part of the Pangong Lake is, and where Rutong is. Khurnak Fort has been with the Chinese since 1958. That's the reason I told you I had mentioned 1958 earlier, and that is a significant turning point. So 1958, the Chinese came and occupied Khurnak Fort. Said this is ours. India had no presence there. Indian patrols used to go there once in a while, but now the Chinese came in and they kept it. Below that, you'll find Sirijab 1, Sirijab 2. These are places which were heavily fought and contested in 1962. The Chinese captured these. Now, under Khurnak Fort, that is once again 18 kilometers away from India's claim line, India's LAC claim line, not India's Survey of India's borders, those that include all of Aksai Chin. So we have to be very clear about maps. There, that is the narrowest point in Pangong Lake. At that narrowest point, what do engineers do when they have to build a bridge over a river, over a lake, whatever? They look at the narrowest point, because you have to be nuts to build a bridge where the lake or a river is at its widest. So that is the narrowest point. And there the Chinese have begun construction of a bridge. What that bridge does is, it connects their forces on the south bank of the lake and north bank of the lake. So in late summer of 2020, when India climbed on top of the Kailash Range, the Chinese realized that for them to move their forces between, say, Khurnak or between the north bank of the lake of Pangong to south bank, it was about 150, 180 kilometers in the mountains. And it was very onerous and it took a long time. So they've now decided to build that bridge and cut that distance. So the distance, which was 150 to 180 kilometers, will now be cut to 40 to 50 kilometers. That is what Snehesh's story is telling us. So tactically, this makes the Chinese much stronger. This also makes it much easier for them to defend the region. And also, it makes it that much tougher for India to surprise them again in the same region. But you know what? Mountains give a lot of opportunities to anybody who wants to take them. So to expect that India will once again try and do the same thing in the same place is a bit like our police acts. Like when the house gets burgled, what happens? Next day they post two cops in front of the house as if the house will get burgled again. So this is an action a little like that. At the same time, we have to understand and we have to also appreciate the fact that when Chinese don't like the reality as it exists on the ground, they changed that reality. And that's what they have done. They figured that they were not very well connected in this area. Rutong, by the way, is in Aksai Chin. This is in the main Tibet territory. So that is Chinese territory. That is not territory claimed by us. So they have now narrowed that distance between their various fighting units in that area. There is something to learn from it. And the lesson to learn from this is the speed at which the Chinese can build infrastructure.